Welcome to the Leadership Loop podcast. We are all about helping you get better as a leader. Today, we're having a conversation with Coach Beard and Garrett Williams about the importance of mentoring for your leadership. After this conversation, you're going to be inspired to have a mentor and to be a mentor. This conversation is going to be fun, so buckle up. But I also encourage you to like and subscribe to the podcast because we've got more great content coming out soon. So for now, here's the conversation with Coach Beard and Garrett Williams. Okay, so here, I'd love to just, as we're sort of like getting comfortable, I'd love to hear how you guys met.
Came to find NBC camps through a college teammate, and that is just a opportunity for me during the summers to spend time teaching basketball, working with kids, and character building. And it was something I look forward to every summer, summer after summer. And so that started about 10 summers ago, and probably maybe two or three summers into that, I met Coach Beard at a camp where he was either the director of the camp and everyone that was on campus, or some sort of lead figure, supervisor, overseer that really just made things go. And we just connected, you know, just he's everything. He's an example of, you know, who to be on the court, who to be with individuals, who to be in character and professionalism. And so by summer after summer went by, and I just found myself being at the same camps that Coach Beard was at. And then through that, multiple interactions, great amount of time spent together, then he shaped me into who I am as now a director of the similar camps that he was once the director of. So just honestly spending so much time together, traveling around the Pacific Northwest, Alaska down to southern Idaho. Yeah. I've spent summers with Coach Beard, long periods at a time.
And I want to add to a little bit. So one of my, it's kind of a philosophy, and since we're talking about mentorship here, so I'm looking as I'm traveling. I had 11 states that I oversaw. And as I'm going around to these various locations and we have, you know, 10,000 campers that are coming through, I start looking in the seventh and eighth grade for people, young people that I want to invest my life into. So it starts then. And they're typically continue to be campers. And they come all the way up, and then we start bringing them on as junior coaches. And then the next thing you know, I'm saying, hey, I want you to be on my staff. I want to hire you during the summer. Many weeks was 30 people a summer, right? Or a week, excuse me, and about 150 a summer. So Garrett was one of those young people that I saw a promise in and continued to try to just encourage him along the way. And then there was a point in time where a decision was made that I wanted to elevate him to a leadership position, which would be a master teacher, and then more. How much more can he take on? And I think the Bible talks about if you're faithful in the little things, then God will trust to us. And so that's that whole process that took place with Garrett. The next thing you know, now two of the camps, which were our largest camps, Garrett is the director, the site director of those camps. It makes me proud inside, and it makes the organization really good, and the organization really loves him. Awesome. And I am so excited about him being at Life Center, too. I want you to know that. Come on.
Well, Danny, without you, he wouldn't be here.
Life Center is where he needs to be. This is where God's called him to be right now. I have great joy. I come up almost every Sunday and give him a hug upstairs. I don't say much. I just give him a hug, and then I take off.
When did you guys figure out, like, we're in a mentor-mentee relationship? Because, I mean, you obviously developed over years. Was there a point when you asked, or you asked? Like, how did that happen?
I would say points in my life, just through my upbringing, I've been on the constant search of male figures in my life. And so whether seeing Coach Beard or other people with proven character, it was just, it caught my eye that that's what a man of God looks like. And that was something I was missing in my life. And so you would say it was very grassroots or organic. You know, I do remember one time at camp, he pulled me aside to give me quite the chewing and just received it well and knew that it was out of love because of just the time we spent together and that trust. So you could say there was elements of a mentorship, but it was nothing necessarily committed to until I moved up to Spokane, where I was, you know, we sought out each other's schedule and time together to really talk about specific things, where I was calling him on the regular to seek wisdom or seek what is another perspective with what I'm going through or dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say that really, it's really, really blossoms when he came to Spokane. Yeah. And kind of was, I talked him a little bit out of where he was going to go. He was going to go to Washington, D.C. area or somewhere back east. And I go, really? Why are you going to do that? You know, there's stuff here for you that God can use you. Yeah. And he prayed through it and made a decision that he's going to make Spokane his place of residence. And then just seeing how God has really, really navigated that and put it all together. And this is, we just were chatting recently, and it's just like, he's right where God wants him to be right now.
That's right. I believe that too. I think a lot of people in leadership want mentor figures. And, you know, whether you're an official leadership position or you're just, you're leading your family, you're like, people are looking for people to look up to, right? But I think a lot of people don't know what a mentor is or what a mentor does or what a like how to be in that sort of relationship. So I'd love to hear from you, Danny, because you're the mentor in this relationship. What does it mean to be a mentor?
You know, I was talking to my wife about that, and, you know, the greatest mentor in the world was Jesus,
yes.
Right here. So I'm following that.
Yeah.
I'm doing my best to follow how he mentored specifically his disciples.
Yeah.
And just spending time hanging out with them and whatever I have. You know, the Bible talks about the things you've heard and see in me, entrust to faithful men who will.
Entrust it to others.
Also,
that's
so
right.
I am trying to do what I can with numerous young men what God has done for me and in my life and through the Word. I want to make sure it's biblically driven, that I want to impart that to others and get them excited and motivated about being a follower of Jesus Christ. Really, that's really what it's all about. Good basketball, absolutely, good relationships with people. But if you're not following Christ, it's really not going to give you fulfillment in your life.
Yeah, so I hear that as a Jesus follower, you've got this like core commitment that you want to make another Jesus follower. And
absolutely 100%.
Yeah. But you're also doing it through the medium of basketball. You're
absolutely
doing it through the medium of relationships,
absolutely,
of leadership.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I love that you're using the skills that you have, what other people are interested in, and you've got it's not a hidden agenda. You're outspoken. You're for Jesus and for them, and you want them to know Jesus.
And I think it's really important that people know that you care first.
Yeah.
Right. And then you earn the right to really talk to them about what's going on in your life spiritually.
Yeah.
You know, so to come in and bombard people with Jesus and there's not a real history or background in that, you know, sometimes that can be a little bit difficult. Yeah. So developing a friendship relationship, and for me it was through sports, and the Lord has really used that, and I'm really thankful for that. I'm humbled by that, you know, God has used me that way. I never dreamed that. I grew up on a dairy farm, right? I thought I was going to be a farmer, and then I worked for Kroger's Food, which is out here as Fred Meyer's, and I was in the butcher shop, and I go, hey, butchers are making $35,000 a year. That's way more than my parents. I'm going to be a butcher. I'm going to cut meat and make hot dogs.
Look at you now.
No dream that I'd ever be where I'm at today. Seriously.
Yeah.
Free college education, met my wife in college. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
I am humbled. I am indebted to the Lord for how he has really just blessed my life, really.
Yeah.
I have more than enough, right?
Yep.
I'm just really thankful.
That's awesome. So can you, let's look at the mentor position or person from the opposite angle and say, what is a mentor not? Because I think a lot of people have these misconceptions of mentorship. So maybe for both of you, like when you think about a mentor and what people think about it, what is it not? You're like, no, it's not this.
I would say a mentor is not someone to just completely come into dependency on.
Okay.
I think it's a relationship that needs to be healthy, that you are there to lean on, but it's not a constant. They are not a replacement of parents. They are not maybe a replacement of these other structures you have in people you have in your life. They can help in those areas, but I don't think they replace. I think to define what a mentor is someone 10 or so years ahead of you that is in a place you want to be. I think that's the easiest way I've shaped it in my mind, is that where do I want to be in 10 years? There's someone already there. They can give me the steps to do it. And that does keep it clean and cut, that anything that kind of varies outside of it, you may be venturing into some other role or relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think a mentor is not a person that is going to just allow you to do whatever you want with very little accountability. So, Garrett, you heard Garrett allude to the fact Garrett was outside of the line, and I had to talk to him about coming on this side of the line, and that's with a wide-eyed, little bit higher voice tone. This is what you need to be doing. Why are you not doing it? So I think that piece has to be there. And so often it's like, oh, man, you're my buddy. Let's go hang out. You know, and that piece needs to be there because that's demonstrating love and care. But it also says, Garrett, hey, you can't do that. That's not okay. Yeah. You know, why are you doing that? Okay, give me some reasons.
Yeah, and I see the affection between you guys.
Definitely.
And so it's clear that there's this foundation of love. Mm-hmm. And it's into that foundation of love that you're able to speak some real truth that can draw him back over the line, if you will. So, Garrett, I want to ask you this question. Where would you be without Coach Beard?
Yeah, I think I would have the same passions and desires, but I would be navigating them and the opportunities to do them by myself. And being new to the city of Spokane, who knows what school district that would have me in, or what church that would have me in, or who I would be working alongside of. That was unknowable at the time. And so just doing that and knocking on doors or finding all these opportunities on my own, maybe I would be in the same place or maybe not, but it would be a lot more harder and it would probably have more trial by fire.
Yeah.
So definitely having Coach Beard has allowed me to not take shortcuts, but be wise more often and not necessarily have to learn everything the hard way.
Yeah. You've told me this multiple times, that Coach Beard has dropped your name in circles that you would never get in otherwise. But primarily, you've dropped him here. That's why I know him. That's why we're here. You dropped his name here. Can you tell us the story of dropping his name here and how both of you, how you ended up here, Garrett?
Well, we called Life Center our home church for 19 years. It's about 20 now, I guess. And so I knew a lot of the staff that were here, and I was bringing my granddaughter in to the children's ministry on Sunday, and Rachel and I struck up a conversation, and I said, Rachel, you know, I'm kind of looking around, and, you know, how many people, you know, of color, you know, are involved here and on paid staff? And so we had that conversation, and she said, on many occasions, actually, and she said that there was going to be possibly a position that was going to be opening up. And I said, hey, you know what? I got a young guy. He's in the public education system right now. He loves Jesus. I think that maybe he's someone you should at least talk to.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it started.
And so Rachel, our staff member who you were talking to, reached out to you with the job. And what happened?
Yeah, so I just received this email. Rachel Archer, never read the name before, never met the person before. Just, hey, you know, met with Coach Beard, said, you know, gave your name to us. We would love to, you know, would you consider this job? And so I was like, yeah, like I want to be in ministry. And so I asked for a job description because the name that came across is director.
Yeah.
And from what I knew about directing things is it was a lot more maybe desk work or behind the scenes rather than what I felt I was felt called to do, which is to minister, preach, pastor kind of thing. And so, yeah, so they send me this job description. I look at it and it just looks like a lot of administrative work. And so I just emailed no. Like I just shut it down. I was like, nah, I'm not interested. And it's so funny, and it only works if it works this way, is that literally an hour later, I was meeting with Coach Beard. I think we were at KFC. And I was just like, yeah, I got this email. And I said no. And he's like, you said no. And he's like, do you understand that
Were you upset?
No.
Just a little bit?
Just surprised.
I was surprised. And we had to talk it through.
Because, okay. Because it was just, I was talking about how just, hey, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for ministry. And so he basically, you know, set me up this alley-oop, and I said no. And he's like, they had to type out that whole job description for you. Like, they went out of their way for you. And I was like, yeah, but no. And so he's like, no, give it a try. I want you to go give it a try. I want you to go meet with Sam Shad, who is the team lead for the children's ministry. And he's like, I want you to go meet with him. So I said, all right. Because you say so. And that's part of it. That's mentorship. Is like, I have no idea.
It's a because you say so relationship.
Yes. I'm if you say trust, so, I'm I've in. Trusted you time and time again. Yep. And it has not done me wrong. So just because you say it, I'm at least give it a try. Yep. I'm at least give it a try. And here we are today.
That's the story.
That's the story. I said no.
And in my conversation with him, no regrets. He has joy coming to work every day. And doing what God has called him to do.
Absolutely. So I would be navigating that all by myself. I would never, I don't, yeah, I had no foot in the door at Life Center. And so if it wasn't for him dropping my name and me trusting him time and time again and continuing forward and all through prayer and all through Jesus and favor and whatnot, yeah, this is, well, that is the fruit.
Thank you for telling him to give it a try. I appreciate it.
I thought he was a fit. I really did. Honestly,
you were
I
right.
continue to say
hey,
that.
You were right.
But,
remember,
but I didn't know.
He's right.
No, okay. He's right.
I thought he was a fit. I go, he's got a fit. So I just met with your dad, and, you know, I tried to say, I think this guy is a fit. You know what? So anyway, it's and thank the Lord that he had. Yes.
Yep, absolutely.
He belongs here.
That's right. So, Coach, what did you see in Garrett? Or what do you see in Garrett that you're willing to drop his name in circles that he wouldn't be in otherwise?
So 10-year history would be first. And so that tells you a lot about the individual. The other piece is when it was a time where maybe he needed to have a little bit of correction, he was a teachable person. And if you're teachable, you can do a lot of things.
That's right.
Because you're open to change, you're open to learn, you're open to grow. And I saw that Garrett had all that. Plus, the dude is really smart. Okay, that's huge. Right. Number two, he's skilled in a multiple areas. So it's just not one little tunnel that he's in. He can go out here like a shotgun, right? Yeah. Okay. Politically correct or incorrect, you know, I mean, that spread out, you know, he can do a lot of different things. And
yes,
so he can publicly speak, you know, he can navigate. One of the things I will say too, for me to be able to recommend him. So we have evaluations at the end of each camp, and Garrett never had below, this is from the campers and the people that were under him as staff, he never had below a 4.5. And wow. 5 was the highest. And many times at the end of camp, we would hand their evaluation sheets to the staff. Garrett's a 5.
Yeah.
So if he's a 5 among kids, he's a 5 among his staff or 4.0, I'm saying, Michael, you got to talk to this guy.
That's right, dude. Let's go. Let's go.
So does that answer your question?
Yeah,
so it was easy for me to be able to go and talk to principals in District 81, to talk to pastors, whatever it was, to say, hey, I think this is a young man that you should at least meet with.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen that all the things that you've said are true of Garrett, I've seen as well. He's intelligent. He's a great speaker. He has a heart for people. He's like you said, he's a dynamic person with a broad reach. Yeah. And yet skilled in a lot of areas. And so we honor you, G.
Well, I appreciate that. That's all I got to say.
So here's, let's turn this into your leadership for each of you. And Garrett, how has coach's mentorship impacted your leadership or grown your leadership personally? Are there specific areas where you go, man, I wouldn't be this or this? Or he's influenced this in my leadership?
Yeah, I would say maybe starting more general is that as humans, we're entering a lot of stages in our life for the first time in our life. There's not much prep work. There's not much studying. There's not much scouting film. And so that is why it's important for me to have someone that's been down the road similar to me, or if not aligns with my path that I want to go, so that I could get those tips ahead of time. Yeah. So when it comes to being an adult or when it comes to living in a new city, like he might have done that once or twice before and he could tell me what things to look out for and look for these markers or these indications of anything before I even get there. That is an advantage that mentorship gives you. I think that's what every human can relate to, is that I'm going through something and it feels like the first time and I don't know where to go. That's where mentorship really can save the day. And so I have a lot of blind spots that I may or may not be aware of, and being able to call Coach Beard when I'm in confusion or I don't quite understand, he can give me something that maybe he wish he would have learned, because like you talked about, just the entrusting to him, he's entrusting to me, and he's passing that down, and I get to benefit from what he has learned, and I get to take that one step ahead. And so who would I be, or what's one thing specifically I could talk about, is just seeing Coach Beard, and he speaks about his wife, and I've been around her, and I've been in their home, and just the many years they've been married is nothing I've ever seen before in my close environment and the people I've chosen around me. That's not where I came from. That's not what I come up in. So that's something that definitely my jaw kind of hits the floor every single time, is because that's one thing I could look up to, that exists. And that exists for someone that looks like me and comes from areas that I come from or has struggles like I have struggles in. And so if I want 40 plus years of marriage, then I'm going to spend time around Coach Beard.
Wow. So you're seeing in him an example of leadership in the home that, like you said, makes your jaw hit the floor, where you're just like, I want that.
Yeah.
I want to be that sort of husband, that sort of leader in my home. So Danny, honor you, dude.
That's amazing. You're very kind and humbled by that. I would say this though. We didn't have a script that we were following. You know, it's caring and listening, seeing the need and trying to offer with God's help, you know, the wisdom and the knowledge to say, hey, this is maybe a thought that you could think about doing in regard to that. So there was not really a script. You know, we met, we talked, we shared, had the privilege to meet his father. You know, I had already met his mother many years ago. Mm-hmm. So all that was just really neat. And perhaps for his father to come up and thank me for being a part of his son's life, that was really meaningful.
That's powerful.
That was really meaningful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Coach, has there been parts of your leadership that has grown because of this relationship? As you're pouring out into him, has it benefited you?
Well, it definitely gives me a sense of satisfaction that he is being successful. You know, as an individual, he comes out of college. He's in an environment that, you know, there's not a lot of people that look like him, like us. And he's able to really navigate his way in there and I think find favor. So every environment setting that he's been in, that, you know, the people like him, they appreciate him, they respect him. So for me, that gives me fire to take on the next one, which I have already. Yeah. And so you know what I'm saying, really? I mean, so that would be seeing that I've impacted, had some impact in his life through God, that I need to keep doing this, right? Until they put me in the ground. And by the way, on record, we just bought our burial plots. But I'm not planning on going there anytime soon.
Please don't. I'd like to keep you around for a while longer, please. Oh, my goodness. That did you get a discount or something? Like, if you buy early.
We did.
Okay. I was just like, why buy now unless you're getting a discount,
my wife
right?
is not going to be happy with that. Make sure you edit that.
Okay, here's I think people sometimes wonder, like, if you're trying to find a mentor or you're wondering, should I be a mentor? Like, what are the qualifications for being a mentor and who should be a mentor? Because sometimes people don't know where to look, and sometimes people disqualify themselves from being a mentor when they actually should be a mentor. So what are the qualifications and who should be a mentor?
First of all, everybody should be a mentor, right? I mean, really.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Everybody should be a mentor. I mean, they, you know, you... And you need to have someone in your life, too. So you're a mentee,
yes,
right? And so I have that in my life. And those people, you know, are kind of calling me out if I need called out. They're trying to encourage me, you know, along the way. They're praying for me. Not sure why a person wouldn't want to be a mentor. Now, Charles Barkley says he's not a role model. You know, and kind of a mentor is a role model a little bit, but in reality, he really is. You're either a good role model or you're a bad role
model. That's right.
So the mentor needs to be a person that is committed to character and doing the best they can to help another individual. That's really kind of what it is all about.
Yeah. So maybe let me go so far as to say that everyone has influence in someone else's life, and it's up to you whether you're going to maximize it. Absolutely. It's up to you whether you're going to step into that position and utilize your role in their life as best as you can to help them succeed. Which I think that is challenging, because most people, I think, look at themselves and go, I couldn't be a mentor because of X, Y, and Z. And they're forfeiting their influence then. So I love that you said everyone should be a mentor.
Well, and can I follow up with that
please,
too?
So
as I think about the scriptures, the Bible talks about that he's given each one of us gifts and abilities. So if we have that from God as a believer, which we do because the scripture says, so I'm able to take the gifts that God has given me and I'm able to use those to edify the body, the church, another individual. And so if you're a believer, you have gifts that God wants you to use. You can be one that takes those gifts and unfortunately buries them in the sand. Or you can give those gifts and spread them out and cause them to grow.
Yep.
And bless another person.
Yeah. I want to be that sort of person. I want to be the grower.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think one thing, whether you're looking to be a mentor or looking for a mentor, the first place to start is proven track record. And that is what you need to see in someone. And it, people need to know that you don't need to be top to bottom, you know, a expert in every field or every passion you have. Is I have certain people that I only went to talk about investing in the stock market. Then I had people I only went to talk about real estate. And that is all I asked for them, because they had the proven track record for it. Yeah. And they gave me great resources. And that's what I needed to develop that education within myself, or else I'd be navigating it alone again.
Right.
And so it's a proven track record in that particular area. Your consistency, your reliability will be great indicators of whether or not that is worthy of being passed on to someone else or worthy of looking up to in someone above you. The next thing I think is, it takes it to another layer, is worthy of imitation. Is that you could be good at one thing but then have poor character, and maybe that's not worth imitating, that you are only, you know, ideal or a person worth following in that particular area. But to have a life that is worthy of imitation is just a deeper sense of mentoring that is not only transactional or professional, but it can create that deep heartfelt change that needs to happen in most people. Yeah. That is the thing that needs corrected. That is the thing that needs built up and edified, is that inner brokenness or that inner working, that this is why I feel lost, or this is why I don't understand, and where's the blind spots within? Because we could have all the greatest mentors in whatever field, but if this isn't changed, like Coach Beard talks about, just if Jesus isn't your role model, your front runner, your mentor, you have nothing.
Oh, I love that. I love that you made the distinction between, you can look for people with proven track records and they can give you skill-based advice,
yes,
which is great. But you also need someone who's actually going to look at your soul,
yes,
and someone who's going to, with the love of Jesus, steward you, yes, and help you and grow you. And so I love that, the distinction that there is, you can get great advice from people who you don't want to imitate.
I would say that, totally agree with Garrett. I would say the hope is, again, encouraging everyone to be a mentor, is that follow me as I follow Christ.
Yep.
And I would hope that Garrett would be able to say that was how I was pointing him.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're following Christ, then we can tell that individual, right, that is the mentee, hey, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't mean we're going to get it perfect.
No.
But it means if we're following Jesus, we are going to ask for forgiveness. We are going to do our best to be humble. We are going to walk in grace and truth. And so, yeah, that is a great, I love that. Follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1 is just foundational for who we are as Jesus followers. But I also think for someone who's not a Jesus follower, it's fine to say, follow me as I follow Christ, because who doesn't love Jesus? Like, people can not like the church. People can not like Christians, but not many people don't like Jesus. The guy's pretty amazing. So I love that. I want to know, what are some keys to maintaining a good mentor relationship? So as you guys have grown this and stewarded this relationship, are there some boundaries? Are there some do's and don'ts? Like, how do you guys navigate that? And I know you're not following a script, so just some things that you guys have learned as you've grown your relationship.
Well, one is that, you know, he knows my phone is on, again, 24/7. That doesn't mean I'm going to pick up, but it's on. And so he can call me anytime. I may not be able to get with him at that time, but I will get back with him in a timely manner. That would be number one. So the openness to receiving calls.
That's so practical.
Is huge for me. And I believe for Garrett. And then the other thing is, I think that we have to decide somewhat on, you know, we want to meet somewhat on a consistent regular basis. You know, life changes. My position changed down at UGM, and he acquired a new position here at the church. So there's that busyness that takes place, but we're still trying to say, hey, we need to get together. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be on both parts, right? The mentee and the mentor. So I need to chat with you a little bit. And I bounce stuff off of Garrett too, because Garrett's pretty wise, really, you know. So, hey, Garrett, what do you think about this? You know, so that needs to be that mutual too. I'm not above him, where he can't speak into my life. Mm-hmm. You with me?
Yeah, totally.
Okay,
that's great.
I would say a couple big values in my life when it comes to who I surround myself with and those who get to speak into my life often, and is proximity and priority. If I want things to work out between Coach Beard and I, and if I want to benefit from this, I need to keep him in my proximity and I need to keep him a priority. Now, is he number one on both sheets? No.
But that's me, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry, never mind.
Not you either.
I don't know why I asked that. Just,
you're moving in.
I was hoping. You know?
You don't know if you don't ask, I guess. Right. Yeah. So Coach Beard, you know, if I need to prioritize our time together, like, there are dynamite moments between us, but it's more in the dynamic meeting consistently and being reliable for one another. And so sometimes and it's not perfect. We fall in and out of seasons. That's mostly on my end, I would admit, is that I struggle in this relationship when I don't feel like I'm ready to be called up. And that needs to be talked about, that there is this, hey, I want to be just like you. I see greatness in you. But then I don't always want to show myself in the places I always and most need mentorship. Yeah. And that's something I need to tackle within myself and would encourage others to do, is that it is that consistent iron sharpens iron that will make me best, even when I'm not on my best days. And so there are times where I do not call Coach Beard as much, and I don't answer to meeting up as much. And that's just because I'm like, I'm not ready to be examined. I'm not ready to be made better, because I'm a little intimidated or afraid of what that brings on, and I'm not ready to leave this comfort zone right now. And so when it comes to just these steps you could follow is priority and proximity. Like, yep. You're going to get more change when you're around your change more.
Yeah.
And I would say, from a mentor perspective, I respect that. He has shared that with me. He's not in a great place. He's not in a bad place, but there's some things going on. He's not quite ready yet to say, hey, let's talk about this. But because of the relationship, it always comes up.
Yeah.
And sometimes I ask the probing question. And it's like, okay.
Sometimes you just got to stick your finger in the pie and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of people who see what you guys have, see this sort of like mutual love, respect, the growth for you, Garrett, the satisfaction for you, Coach, and just see that and go, man, I wish I had that. So if someone doesn't have a mentor right now that's listening and they want to grow, they want to get better, they want to maximize their influence, what would you tell them?
Well, hopefully, and I'm going to say this, hopefully they're maybe involved in a church, right? So if it would be a high schooler, they can chat with their, youth pastor, mm-hmm. Or adult singles. You know, there's, go find someone, in my opinion, in the church mm-hmm. where you can, because the church is the foundation of everything, in my opinion. You know, we got Jesus, right? He's yep. the cornerstone.
Yep.
But he has raised up the church, yep. and the church is for his people. Yep. So go to there first and see what your pastors are saying, and they can probably direct you somewhere where you can begin that process of mentoring someone. Or the other side, too, you need somebody to be a mentor in your life. You need to go talk to somebody. Don't yeah. just sit out there and do nothing.
Yeah. So you got to be proactive.
Absolutely.
If you don't have a mentor, be proactive. So if you're not in the church, no. you're in the business world, you'd still say the same thing. Like, absolutely. Go be proactive. Find someone who you can have proximity with, who has similar priorities, like meet up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the number one thing that any human needs for change is self-awareness. You need to realize where you need that growth. You need to realize what you have to offer the world. And so through that self-awareness can come the direction where you need to be. If I was in a new city, that was self-aware. I'm having a hard time in a new city. It could be something as I'm not being the greatest son I could be. Where can I find the greatest son? And let me go see if I can spend time with them. Mm-hmm. That is Zacchaeus. Yeah. This is someone great. Can I go spend time with them? Can I go see them? So whatever field you're in or whatever thing you want to grow in, there are professionals. There are people doing it at a very high level. And start there. And if they don't got the time to meet, find the next one. Yeah. But, you know, that is where you need to start, is self-awareness.
Well, and I love that. If you have an ounce of self-awareness to go, I need help here, and you go find someone who can help you, what they're going to do is they're going to expand your self-awareness in that area and help you to grow in your potential and shore up your weakness. Yes. And so I think that's key, man. Self-awareness is that sort of beginning point of, yo, I've got the self-awareness to know I need help.
Yes.
I'm going to go look for it. So what if someone isn't a mentor? What would you tell them? How do you become a mentor?
I would like to back up just a little bit. So, you know, I was kind of geared towards more church people,
yeah.
But the environment that I've spent most of my life in is people that are unchurched.
Yeah.
And we still need mentors regardless. You know, it's become a big deal now in a lot of the schools that people are coming in from the outside, and our church is doing that. Yep. And we're coming alongside, you know, kids in school. And so we need that, because everybody needs someone that can come alongside them, encourage them, you know, and really help them. You know, Garrett's been a help to our family in many different ways. And so I just really want to encourage people to reach out, okay, and find someone that really needs you, because they're out there in abundance.
Yeah. That's great. So how do you become a mentor? For anyone who's not a mentor, start looking for someone who needs you. I think that's fantastic advice.
Going back to even, you remember years ago, you know, there would be even, if we're dealing with Cisco high school kids, maybe even junior high, remember there's always that one person that's kind of sitting by themselves in the lunch room. Nobody talks to them.
Yeah.
Why not go up and reach out to that person? Hmm. Hey, tell me a little bit about yourself. Everybody has a story, and people want to tell their stories. So we start with that. Tell me your story. Boom. You're in the door right there.
That's I've never heard that as the start for mentoring, but there it is. Just tell me your story.
Yeah, I would say it starts with sharing.
Yeah,
that where I had the need for growth, as he would look around camps, as he would look around these places that he finds himself in time and time again, he has something to share. And if you find people in the common place and in the common interest, that's where it can grow. That the same way that someone that's looking for a mentor is looking to grow in an area, you being whether passionate or educated or knowledgeable in an area, you have something to share. And so you find that person you're saying, I find that they have been proven to be here consistently and they are in my proximity and they're reliable and they have good character, because he's not going to drop my name if I don't follow up. I'm gonna make his recommendation look bad.
Right.
And so you have someone that you give them that eye test, maybe you ask them a few questions, but then you start to share. You start to take those gold coins you have and you invest them. You invest them in someone, and that's going to be in a intangible way. Yeah. That is the time spent. That is the love and the care given. That's how you become a mentor, because you have something to share.
Yeah. Well, Coach, I want to thank you, because your mentorship for Garrett has been a blessing for me. He's on my staff. He's a friend. And what you've poured into him has now turned around and blessed me. And you've poured similarly into my life throughout the years. You've spoken words of encouragement just when I needed them, and you didn't know it, or maybe you did, but you've been that sort of consistent person. And so your blessing, your love, your encouragement, and mentorship has just meant a lot to Garrett, which means a lot to me. And now Garrett is mentoring hundreds Yes. of students here at our church, and loving them and encouraging them and seeing them and calling them up. And so thank you for starting something that has grown him, that is now growing hundreds of kids here in our church. But not just that, you're a coach as well, after your coach, and you're blessing people in our community. So I just look at mentoring and leadership and the fruit of your guys' relationship and think everyone should have that. Everyone not only should have it, but you need a mentor in your life. You need to be a mentor. It is going to bring so much fruit into your life, so much fruit out of your life, that is going to be so good for the world. And so I think if we could say anything, is that right now, if someone's listening, they should have a mentor and they should be a mentor.
Absolutely.
And so want to thank you guys for being on the podcast.
Well, I would like to say thanks, Michael, for you inviting me, for sure. That's one. Number two, I've told you all along, you are the man for this hour. God raised you up for this and providing the leadership that you're providing for our Life Center Church. And I just am excited for what God's going to do here in the church for the future. I'm thankful that God brought Garrett into my life and that we are friends for life. And that God has got him right where he's supposed to be. And he is, the Bible says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Yep.
So we go forth with that in the name of Jesus.
That's right. Amen. I love that. Well, thank you for tuning in to the Leadership Loop podcast. Thank you guys for being here. And I hope you take this. I hope you apply it. I hope you grow. I hope you seek feedback in a mentor relationship, and that because of that, you get better and the people around you get better as well. We'll see you on the next one.